Yes, 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Screwed up week. Everything's screwed up. I am out tomorrow. Brian, Phoebe, and I flying out west for a few days and maybe hooking up with Dave Murray while we're out there. This would be a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
You're out tomorrow?
No. I lied.
Well, I was going to say, oh my God, I've been telling everybody the wrong thing. I'm like sending out emails.
That's, I mean, kind of a little bit because of the ball game,
yeah,
right?
That's what I mean. It's a screwed up week. It's just, you know, Todd. No, we will be on late tomorrow and I'll be here. And then Friday, I'll be gone and I'll be back next Friday. So.
Nice. Going to California.
Yeah. I haven't been there much.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I've been there like a few times, but never for very long.
Yeah.
Like once to go to LAX, to go to Australia, once for baseball. That's it. Once for a baseball regional.
Well, speaking of hooking up with Dave Murray in California, today at 3:30, it's Dave Murray's 2026 long-range summer forecast.
It's the no-bummer summer.
I predict summer weather and the like. Maybe some thunderstorms, maybe some sunny skies. Just cancel them. I handled it.
Yeah, I think we just replay that.
Yeah, I think that's what the people are looking for.
I think that's it.
Over and over again on a loop. Sunny skies.
I bet you get 100,000 views. She says summer weather. She seems to know what she's talking about.
Come on now.
Okay, I'm terrible at starting shows. So, Rach, let's jump in with you.
What's
and
up?
Talk about, it all comes down to you when it comes to aging.
Okay, so Oxford just did this big story on, you know, a lot of times people say, like, it all comes down to your genetics and where you're born, yada, 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 when it comes to, like, ill health and old age. But this new study is saying that about 80% of the responsibility for your health just comes down to the individual and how well they're taking care of themselves.
80%?
80%. Now, there are plenty of doctors and scientists who disagree and say, sure, you should be taking care of yourself, but you need to take into account like where people live and the things they have access to. And maybe they don't have access to like the healthiest foods and yada, yada, yada. But this study asserts it doesn't really come down to your genetics so much. It comes down to what are you doing to keep yourself healthy? So how physically active are you? How mentally active are you? How well are you eating? And the big thing that's coming out of the study is they are not afraid to say alcohol is a poison. Don't drink alcohol in your old age. Lots of people don't want to say that. Uh-huh. And I'm not over here saying like you should never have a drink ever. But it does feel like we kind of tiptoe around the fact that it can be bad for you at times.
See, I think it's a really fascinating topic. Being my age now, I wouldn't think it was all that interesting if I was Rachel's age. But at 61, I keep saying I'm like in the kindergarten of old age. and I'm of two minds, right? I'm not going to start smoking. But I was saying to Trish the other day, like, I should just start smoking. And she's like, you're an idiot. Why would you do that? And I'm like, well, I've never done it. And it looks really fun and relaxing. And I'm 61. Like, I'm a short timer. I got like 20 years, maybe 25.
I think it's fun and relaxing until the craving hits and you're in the middle of your show and you can't step out to have one, and then you probably feel terrible.
I'm not going to have a show much longer. I'm not worried about that. No, I'm not going to start smoking, but you get the idea.
Sure.
Like, if you want to have a few more drinks than you usually do in your older age, go for it. Boy, my dad drove my mom crazy because my dad, full on Alzheimer's. And my mom just never really accepted it, right? Even when he was in the nursing home. And my dad smoked and then one day just quit when I, you know, probably 30 years before he died. And when he was in the nursing home, he started smoking again.
Mm.
And it drove my mom nuts. And my mom was always fiddling with his hair. And one day we came in and my dad had had it shaved. And my mom started losing it. And he looked at me, even though he didn't know who I was, and he winked. Like,
that takes care of that.
And one of the funnier things, although it's kind of sad, is we went to visit my dad one time in the nursing home, and it was exercise time. And he was, on one of those little tiny trampolines, just kind of jumping up and down, whatnot. And we walk in there, and my mom goes, What is this? What is this? And they're like, oh, it's exercise time. And she said, am I paying for this? And they said, yeah, it's like $30 per session. She goes, get him off. He doesn't need that. And they pulled my dad off of the little trampoline. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't mean for that to be so sad, but
you could see the humor in it, like the dark humor in it. But it's one of those you're like, oh boy, do I really laugh at that?
Well, I mean, this is even darker, but I think it's funny. I did not get there in time to be there for my dad's death. I got there maybe half an hour later. And when I walked into Room Wheels, it was March 26th. It was a beautiful spring day, and it was, late afternoon, and the sun was coming through his room, and it just made everything peach and orange.
Hmm.
And my dad's laying there, obviously deceased, and it's just me, which was wonderful. And I went over, and I sat next to him, and I kissed his head, and I held his hand. And about 10 seconds later, the door comes smashing open. And it's my mom. And she was obsessed with getting this 10-inch black and white television and taking it home before someone stole it. Like, he's been dead 30 minutes. And I'm in there having this moment of serenity with my father. And she busts in because someone's going to steal that $12 television. And I looked at him and I said, you made it out, brother. That's exactly what happened.
That's funnier.
That's exactly what happened.
It isn't interesting how the immediate reactions to things like that, because you know, some people's minds go to where you did, which is kind of a little reflective, take a moment. Other people's minds are, I got to keep doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that in my family. I've seen that, different variations of those two things. It's just interesting how people are.
Well, too, and I'm not saying, like, I want to die, but I also, I don't know that I want to go super out of my way to live a long time.
I get you.
I mean, now that I
do. Well, you want a good quality of life.
Yeah, and we all understand what that means, but I'm in a special situation where I'm weekly spending time with people in nursing homes and people in hospice, and, do what you want to do. And if you want to run marathons and eat nothing but bell peppers or whatever it takes, you want to live to 100, then you go for that. But I don't have that desire.
Well, this study recommends to avoid processed foods, entirely abstain from alcohol, prioritize sleep, don't eat after 6:30 p.m., which I thought was interesting, and then cultivating what it refers to as a non-meat mindset. So I guess eating things that aren't meat as much as possible.
Yeah, I also saw a related story. It's in our show prep today, in the complete sheet, that the average American, so that's everybody, eats 50% processed food. And that's the highest it's ever been.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. It's also the cheapest food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when economic times aren't good, people are going to be going cheaper and cheaper.
Yep.
And what's cheap?
And tasty.
Yeah. I mean, it's the combination, there are too many scolds out there that don't seem to grasp that. Like, you should only, when they do those things, when they do those things with RFK Jr., like, you should only, not everybody can afford that.
You should only.
I mean, it's not a practical statement. It's not unless you want to start helping people more in some way, shape, or form. I don't think it's a fair expectation for someone who's now, especially now, gas is stretching you even thinner. And if you're already kind of riding the margins every couple of weeks or every paycheck, And you're going to be like, yeah, now you need to spend more or eat garbage that nobody wants, like livers.
Go ahead, Rich.
Well, Wheels just brought up something I was wanting to say. So I saw an article on FoxNews.com, and here's the headline. Cheap, healthy food is rejected by most Americans, even as MAHA movement pushes it. So I read this article, and it's talking about how organ meats like kidneys, liver, and heart are really good for you. They're packed with protein. They have more vitamins and minerals than those premium muscle cuts. But people don't want to buy it and people don't want to eat it. And I just found it so interesting that of all the places to find this article, I saw it on Fox News. It just felt like doing some work for the Make America Healthy Again movement more than anything else, because it's like, okay, I'm willing to eat any of these things. I just don't really know how to prepare them, because my whole life ground beef has been cheap, chicken has been cheap. I've just been able to eat these more appealing cuts of meat my whole life. So now that it's like time to tighten the belt, why won't you eat your liver? I don't really know how to make liver. And then to position this as like, yeah, you could eat liver, but you don't want to. It's like, well, I don't. Why is it now my problem that I'm not eating the liver?
Isn't it crazy? And I promise I'm not going to go off on a Trump thing. But I need to point out what we all see. It's insane that we are paying so much for gas, and the president yesterday said it was peanuts, and that we're doing $1 billion, and I'm sure it'll be more than that, ballroom that no one asked for. We're going to be doing an arch. We're putting a pool liner in the reflecting pool.
We're putting a fund together for people that committed crimes.
We're giving January Sixers $2 billion, and then they have the balls to stand up there and say, maybe try eating liver.
Yeah.
By the way, Congress needs to make $174,000.
Right, right. And they need to be,
that's barely
and they need
nothing
to be able to do insider trading just to get by.
Yeah.
But the rest of us, the average person, the average family does not make $176,000 a year.
No.
But the rest of us are like, oh, well, you guys, you know what? Congress, Mike Johnson, you can eat livers too, you little jerk. God, I hate that guy so much.
I thought he was going to say something else.
No, I did almost say something else, and I very, 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 very barely caught that.
Which one were you going for?
That was the bad one. That was the one that was trying to get out.
Okay, can I be like a complete conspiracy theorist?
Please.
I have noticed, just in my own life, I am more addicted to my phone than ever, and the people around me are more addicted than ever. I have had conversations with friends and family members who I never thought would have an issue with, like, I look at my phone way too much. I've had people say to me, like, yeah, I'm kind of freaked out by how often I scroll. Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that, like, gas is getting to be $5 a gallon and groceries are crazy expensive? Like, how convenient that we're now all just, like, lulled into complacency by these little black mirrors in our pockets, and we're not out there protesting, and we're not out there telling them how we really feel. We're so attached to this little creature comfort.
Yeah,
like, it's just odd the way that seemed to click in place kind of at the same time.
So what a strange response this is going to be to your intelligent thing, but anyone who watched Star Trek The Next Generation with Picard, I remember one episode that really got to me, and this is back in the 90s, and it was a little game that you would play where you had a little circle in your visor and you'd put a ball through it, and the whole crew got so obsessed with it that they stopped doing their jobs.
Yeah.
And I think it was like alien tech sent there to make that happen. But man, how close to that are we now? Like, even in that episode, I don't think they played their game as much as we look at our phones.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, Rach. Whether it's intentional or it's just a happy accident for them, it certainly works out.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, like, the Trump administration manufactured, you know, all these tech corporations. I'm just saying, because I saw a video, ironically, a video earlier today of this girl being like, gas is so expensive, groceries are so expensive, why aren't we out there marching in the streets? And I thought to myself, because I'm watching you talk about it on my phone, I feel like I'm doing something because you said it. Yeah. So now I feel a part of it. But really, it's just like, meh, I'll just sit on my couch. I'll see what other people are doing. I'll let the algorithm feed me what, I mean, I guess I like it, right? It's what I consume all the time, so I must like it. But I'm not really making that much of a choice for myself. And it's just kind of scary how we can fall into this type of thing. And it's like it creeped up on us.
Well, also, there are just so many things.
Crept up, perhaps.
There's so many things that I personally can't believe have happened. Like, if you go back to January 6th, they've been playing this on the news a lot. And everyone should go back and watch it. The night of January 6th, remember when Congress got back together and Lindsey Graham was like, I'm so sad to break up with President Trump.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
It breaks my heart. I didn't want it to end. And Mitch McConnell and Kevin, what's his face? And
McCarthy.
And, yeah, the president, you know, has responsibility in this, and this is not the way to blah, blah, blah. And you fast forward, like, what, 6 years? And now they're all pardoned, and they're all going to share in $2 billion. I would have literally never believed you if you said that was going to happen. How could that happen? It's nuts. We live in a nuts world. Whether you're a total MAGA and you couldn't be happier, or you hate MAGA and you think they're ruining the country and ruining the world, we're all living in a crazy time. I'm just going to unzip my thing farther.
Don't say it like that.
Just give everyone a little bit of a show. 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. Welcome back, guys. TGS 125. Someone mentioned my Plastic Bird tattoo on the stream, and it got us talking. And Wheels was asking if there was a Grafton monster. And I don't know about that.
There is, but it's in West Virginia.
Yeah.
I just looked it up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, It's like a lizard type
something. Thing. Yeah.
Not like a. I just saw a TikTok
and I was like, wait, are Grafton? And then turns out no.
Traditional skunk ape, like many.
There is a Grafton monster, but his name is Larry. So just try to avoid him. He hangs out at the fudge shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't think anything has ever scared me at all like the Momo monster. And anyone my age knows Momo. And when I was a kid, so probably 1974-ish, when I was 10, it seemed like every night. I'm sure it wasn't. But Dick Ford, who ended up being a friend of mine, they'd put a big picture of this green, horrible, Bigfoot-looking monster. And he'd be like, Momo was spotted again in Louisiana, Missouri. And 3 times that summer, I tried to sleep in my pup tent that my dad bought me, and we'd do the whole thing, like the Brady Bunch, and have like a flashlight full of beans and whatever it is, and I never made it through the night. Too afraid of Momo.
Momo wasn't really around here, though. Momo was out down south, right?
No, he was in Louisiana, Missouri, which is, I don't know, hour north, something like that, okay. Hour and a half.
And he was going to get on the bus and make his way to South Roxana.
Listen. I'd like to see you be 10 years old in
no,
a pup
I'm
tent.
Scared of it now. There's another like internet Momo monster. You know who I'm talking about, Andrew?
Yes.
That one's scary, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a crazy lady.
I was also afraid of...
She's got like a scary face. I'm actually like genuinely very afraid of that face, which is stupid. I kind of had to like do immersion therapy with it. We'll show you guys on the break. Kevin can show you. I'm not putting that bad spirit on my phone. But it's very scary looking, and I hate it.
I was also afraid of the Momo the Monster ride at Six Flags.
There was a Momo the Monster ride at Six Flags?
It was like the classic octopus looking thing.
What?
You know, like the bunch of cars spinning around on itself.
Like the teacups?
Yeah, but up in the air. It shouldn't be that hard. They're all over the place.
I don't know. I don't ride a lot of rides. I'm a chicken.
Why do I feel like I'm dreaming right now?
I'm a chicken.
I feel like I'm having a really bad dream about doing a really bad radio
because
show.
Because we talked about Momo the Monster and then...
Is that Momo?
We started talking about the lady face.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's creepy.
Scary.
Is she a ghost?
I don't know what she is.
You don't know?
She freaks me out.
She got like chicken feet. I think she's like a yokai.
She has no torso.
Oh, I've got cousins with chicken feet. I'm not afraid of that. You and me, we come from different worlds. You like to laugh at me when I look at her. Welcome back, DGS 134. Happy Wednesday. So, we all get that any given day could be our last day, right?
Yes.
Did you see the story about the woman who fell through the manhole cover?
I did.
Have you seen this, Rach?
No.
Okay. Oh my God, it's crazy.
Wait, was she getting out of her car?
Yes. So what happened was, it was in New York. It was on a very busy intersection, you know, right downtown and hustle and bustle. And they think what happened was about 10 minutes before this lady got out of her car, a big truck went over the manhole cover and dislodged it.
Yeah.
And so her car pulls up, she gets out, and she steps on it, and it just goes vroom, and she just disappeared.
Yeah.
And the main guy who witnessed it ran over there, and she was yelling, "I'm dying, I'm dying." The first responders tried to save her. They couldn't. Mm. She was just getting out of her damn car.
It's wild.
And then, boom, just done. That's nuts.
Yeah. And I think what I read was it was a 10-foot fall, which is, she must have hit her head or something.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard. I mean, so that's not that far of a fall, but if you're, and who knows, there may have been sharp objects. I mean, I don't want to get too deep into that, but I mean, that's crazy. Just all of it's crazy.
Yeah.
And clearly something's wrong if that thing moved that easily.
Mm-hmm.
Something's not in place correctly, doesn't fit correctly, was left loose somehow. Something's not right.
Right.
Because you're supposed to be able to drive over those.
That's exactly what they're for.
Right.
Yeah, exactly what they're for.
Yeah.
Yeah, just terrible. You know why I realized that I wasn't a very good lawyer? I have no thoroughness to me.
Well, what makes you say that?
You don't read a lot of articles.
What makes you say that? You know me well enough. I don't think it's a mystery. I have no thoroughness. I have no detail.
You read a lot of headlines with no articles.
Hey.
Was that a hey, thank you, or a hey, wait a minute?
No, when I say you tell me why I suck, I don't really mean it. But no, it's like I just sort of had that epiphany, you know? It's like, because I was a better lawyer than I talk about, because it's kind of become a bit on the show now. But to the extent I wasn't, that was it. I just had no thoroughness.
Yeah.
Like, you need me to show up at something, I'm your guy. You need a performance, you need a speech, you need me to cross-examine someone, sign me up. You need me to prepare a case every day, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. Who among you could have made it with the thoroughness? I know Rage could. Yeah, very detail-oriented.
I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I think I could do the...
Okay, good. Everyone's I would better enjoy, lawyer than me.
That's not about better. Just
no, I don't think different. I can. I don't think I could get to the point where I'd be a lawyer. I don't think I could get through law school.
Oh, I do.
I am not a very good student.
That's a different thing than being smart. That's a good differentiation, mm-hmm. because
community
that's a different
college
thing.
Dropout.
Yeah, it's a different thing though. Being smart and being a good student are not the same. They're different.
No,
they have to do with patterns, habits, how your brain works.
Sometimes mutually exclusive.
Could yeah, can be, can be.
Got to do with how your brain works, and mine don't.
I think.
Oh my God!
I think anyone out there with, I can't say average intelligence because who knows what that means. I think most people could get through law school pretty easily.
Do you?
I do.
Man, isn't it a lot of reading and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you have to have a certain amount of energy to be able to do that. And, you know, deliver every day and read three cases and brief them and be able to stand up to the withering, psychological torment of the. But as far as just like understanding the concepts.
Dave, how do you feel about recently Kim Kardashian finally came out and said, I'm giving up on the whole lawyer thing? Now, out in California, you don't actually have to go to law school to become a lawyer. You can do an apprenticeship with different lawyers uh-huh. for a certain amount of hours, and then you just have to pass the bar. She could not pass the bar. And she made this big show over, like, I'm studying all the time, and I'm using ChatGPT to
That's
help
not
me
studying.
With... Right, right. But she did this for, I want to say, about 6 or 7 years. It was a long time, and she's finally said, I'm giving up, at least for now. whenever she first announced this and said, like, I'm going to become a lawyer, but I'm not going to law school, what was going through your mind at that time?
Honestly, had it not been Kim Kardashian, I probably would have been like, great, good for you. You know, I'm not a big fan of states that do that. I think you should have to go to law school. I do think law school could be a year.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be 3 years. But the fact that it was her, I was very pissy about it. Like, oh, yeah, why not? I mean, you've already conquered the world. Why don't you go be a lawyer, too?
Was there a part of you that was like, oh, you think it's so easy?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I'll be really honest. I would like to think I'm a better person than this. But when she kept failing it, there's a little part of me is like, okay.
Well, I mean, when you hear about how she's doing it, I think that's a justified feeling. You're basically taking every shortcut you can mm-hmm. to get what is a difficult job. Like, well, I don't want to go to law school, but I want to be a lawyer. What?
Yeah, especially coming from someone who has every resource possible
exactly.
to attend law school. But it's like, I'm
exactly.
too busy for law school. I'm too busy, like, posing for the cover of Maxim or whatever. I can't go to law school. So it's like, okay, you might be too busy to become a lawyer then.
Well, you know what happened to me the morning of the bar exam? I had a bulldog at the time, Quincy, and I had left him with a old former girlfriend's family because they had bulldogs. And that night before, he had fallen in their in-ground pool and drowned.
Oh.
So, test starts at 8. I get a call at 7:45, and they're beside themselves emotional, but they're angry at me. Because in the 2 days they had had him, they became emotionally, you know, attached. And they were screaming at me for leaving the dog with them, and now they're sad. And meanwhile, my dog is dead and drowned, and the test starts in 15 minutes. True story.
That's insane.
It
was. On every level.
It was.
The timing is insane. Them blaming you is insane.
It was weird. Yeah, that was one of those. That's almost like a psychotic break. I had to just go in there with my number two pencils or whatever it was, and put on my thinking cap, and here we go.
How long does it take to take the bar?
It's 2 days.
It's like hours, right?
Yeah, it's usually like, I think it's 2-3 hour sections each day, at least when I did it.
Hard pass.
The good thing about it, though, because I'm a very good test taker, I'm a terrible home worker, and I've always had a strategy. I go through as fast as I can. I go with my first instinct, because I think that's usually right. Then I go through one more time and check it. And if it's glaringly wrong, I change it. But if I'm not sure, I don't change it. And with the bar, you didn't have to sit there. If it's a 4 hour session and you finish in an hour and a half, you could go do something else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a lifesaver for me.
What did you get, like, did the first person to finish always get like dirty looks from the teacher?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are you a genius, or did you just write down?
Yeah. But for me, it wasn't like showing off. Mm. That's the only way I could take a test.
Mm.
Because when I would go back and check all my answers very carefully, I would get confused, I would change them, and I'd do worse.
Did you pass it on the first try?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep. I that was similar to the way I took tests, too, because I would blow through. I just go through the whole thing, and everything I knew, done.
I thought Kevin was going to reveal.
Anything
he also
thinking was going to be saved for the end, and then I would budget all the time for the hard things.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Dave on the stream points out that people not passing the California bar seems common. I have also heard that California's bar is like pretty tough.
It's really tough when you're using AI
to
do your homework.
It's also like a huge state. I would think that maybe there's more laws or something you need to be aware of there.
Maybe.
Probably, I mean, every state's different, right, as far as the complexity of their legal system and the requirements. So, yeah, it's probably fair.
Now, the way, Andrew, you say you don't think you could have made it through law school, I'm afraid I could have made it through medical school. Because, and I joke about this, but it's true, I would have so many dead bodies in my wake. Like, I would be tired and complaining about, right, the way I do with you, Rach, except that we'd be in surgery and I'd be like, I just don't sleep it very well. And then the guy would, you know, code. I'd be like, I killed another one. I got to cover this up.
I think medical school
separates the wheat from the chaff pretty well. You know what I mean? You have to go for so long.
Yeah. And do the
do the residency and everything else. Like, I figure you figure out if you got what it takes
and yet there are still terrible doctors.
That's a great point.
I can vouch because that was the first thing I did was medical malpractice defense.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, there's still going to be people that slip through. I mean,
yeah.
Or people that are fine, and then when they get someplace, they get complacent and just like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my number one. Now I'm just talking. But that's like my number one.
That's all we're doing.
AI fear is the doctors that use like ChatGPT in medical school. And then get into practicing or surgery or whatever. And I feel like that's going to be like the doctors that are caring for me when I get super diabetes or whatever in two months.
ChatGPT's talking to the doctor that just killed all their patients. Like, you know what? You did your best. And that's all that matters is what was in your heart.
SNKMOX, a few minutes shy of 2 p.m. David Scruggs says, hey, Dave, have you ever been diagnosed with ADHD? Oh, often. Yeah, dude, I've been diagnosed with pretty much everything to the point that, how do I say this? I don't want to crap on the psychiatric community. I do think that we are overdiagnosed. I do think that things like ADHD and OCD can be like colors on a palette that you just kind of mix up, and we all have different things like that. I know for sure the OCD thing because I had it really bad. I was medicated as a little kid, and I had so many tics. It's like a Jewish polka, man. I was just like constantly... biting my lapel on my shirt and smacking my ears and shaking my head and making facial grimaces. You guys ever have anything like that when you're a kid? Any like bad tics?
I would like stare into space and have a hard time snapping out of it.
Interesting.
And then as I got older, I still do it from time to time, but as I got older, I got better at being like, just stop. So I don't know if that was like a disorder or something, or if it was just, I just needed to learn to like exert that.
Do you remember
doing
it, and do you remember what you were doing or what it felt like?
It would just feel like I was disassociating, basically.
Oh, interesting.
And then it'd be like, you should be paying attention to what's going on around you. And I would have a hard time like snapping out of it. But as I got older, it became easier to be like, you got to focus on what's going on. Come on.
Yeah. I'm not sure the way classrooms work today, but the way classrooms worked when I was a kid seem, I don't want to say like, oh, we should be so soft on the kids and you don't want to ever challenge them or anything. But like a third grade little boy sitting in the same chair for about 7 hours a day, doing everything he's doing he doesn't want to do. He may need it. It may be good for him. You got to learn your multiplication tables. But think about that. For like 12 years, we just do something that goes against every instinct in our body. Sometimes I don't think it's fair. And I think a lot of kids, especially little boys, are diagnosed with ADHD in grade school when they're just little boys and they're just bored to death. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing different about them. You're putting them through something that the natural response is going to be this.
And yeah.
Some are worse than others, but none of us are great.
Mm-hmm. Is that really... I mean, I'm trying to piece together how I perceive that, because nothing you're going to get to do all day as a 7-year-old is going to be what you want to do.
That's a good point.
Because what you want to do is play and fart around and eat cookies and do all that. And you're never going to be able to do that. That's just not a realistic thing to do. Like, even if you weren't doing school, you'd be working on a farm or, you know, whatever. Like in the olden times, you might not have been at school all day or sitting in a class, but you were probably working. You're probably helping the family do whatever, you know, do chores or whatever. I mean, I think that's just kind of survival.
Yeah, I just, I really question the educational system and the way we set it up. I just don't think it works. And
well, it sure seemed to for a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe it just doesn't work for me.
No, I get that. That's not everything works for everybody. You're right.
But I remember Tom Turbrock, producer Tom, who everyone loves. Tom hated school, hated it. And then he fell in love with like the History Channel. And I remember him asking me one time, he's like, Glove, why didn't they teach me like this? Like, I love watching a show about Gettysburg, and now I understand about General Longstreet and his relationship with, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but when he was seven, it wouldn't have interested him. It's because you're a grown person that you've seen some things and you grasp things differently. Because if you put a documentary about Gettysburg for a seven-year-old, they're going to be like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, but I think there's a chasm between presenting something in an interesting way and just the classic, here's a book and you read it and then I'm going to test you on it. I know that
the most recent research has been showing that any screen in classroom is what holds back learning. Any screen, whether it's a laptop, computer, desktop, phone, iPad, all of it has made learning worse.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to just doing it the old way. Books and chalkboard or...
Where are you getting that?
I mean, it was a legit... I'll find it. It was a legitimate study.
I've seen this too.
That showed that any screen in class is hindering test scores and hindering learning. Because it fundamentally turns off parts of your brain that you need to remember information. It's too passive, I guess, is the point. It's a passive activity as opposed to a direct activity, right? In reading, you're seeing words, and the words translate into thoughts, and those thoughts become what you remember. When you're seeing something passively, it's a passive thing. It's not. It can be more entertaining, but it's not necessarily going to make it stick with you. Mm. And I forget who did it, but it was like a legitimate group of people. It wasn't just like some rando.